Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. All the fresh-cut Christmas trees may be sold out in Ketchikan, but there's another option. Those still hoping to put one up can harvest their own. The U.S. Forest Service released guidelines for harvesting a Christmas tree in the Tongass National Forest late last month. There are no permits required or regulations on tree species or size requirements, but there are some guidelines. There's a limit of one tree per family, and the trees can't be used for commercial purposes. Trees also can't be cut from any developed Forest Service recreation sites. Cutting is prohibited within 330 feet of a bald eagle nest or within 100 feet of a road or salmon stream. Trees should be cut as close to the ground as possible, and large trees can't be topped. In other words, you can't cut the top off of a large tree to put your presents under and leave the rest. The Forest Service said that trees should not be harvested from muskegs, as regeneration in these areas is difficult. Harvest is allowed only in designated areas of the national forest and not from private property. Juneau utility staff say they need to raise residents' water and sewer rates by more than 50% over the next 5 years to address critical infrastructure repairs. At an informal meeting at Thunder Mountain Middle School last night, Juneau residents reacted to the news. Jesse Hay lives in Mendenhall Valley. He says he understands the need for repairs.
The utilities are definitely a requirement, but I think people just get frustrated that every time we turn around, the city's asking for more and more and more, and the residents are just kind of getting tired of it because it's getting too damn expensive to live here.
Juneau's utility rates have gone up 2% each year since 2020. The last time rates were increased was this summer. Now, the division proposes increasing the flat residential water rate by just over 10% starting next July. Then another 10% each July until 2029. The proposed sewer increase is nearly 13% each year. At the meeting, city staff say it could have been much higher. This October, Juneau voters approved a wastewater bond to borrow $10 million to replace critical infrastructure at the Juneau Douglas Wastewater Treatment Plant. Alan Steffert with the city's Engineering and Public Works Department says the bond helped shave off a significant amount of repair costs, but there are still a lot of repairs that need to happen beyond that.
We're actively replacing our infrastructure, be it wastewater or water, be it treatment, be it collections, be it distribution. So there's no end of products or projects we could spend on. And it's a matter of prioritizing.
Some residents, like Sean Lovell, wanted to know how much cruise ship traffic takes a toll on the city's wastewater infrastructure, and if residents will be the only ones paying it if rates increase.
How much are we actually getting from the cruise industry to offset that? Because it seems like we as the locals are the ones that are footing that excess bill, where maybe a little bit more should be twisted or pushed on to help them pay for it.
His comments and many others from residents who attended the meeting will go to the Assembly. And residents may also submit comments about the proposals online. The Assembly is scheduled to vote on the rate proposal before July 1st. The next public meeting has not yet been scheduled. And Kodiak's largest seafood processing plant now has a new owner. The sale from Trident Seafoods to Pacific Seafood came about 2 months after the companies announced a deal was in the works. KMXT's Brian Venois has more.
Pacific Seafood has finally completed buying Trident Seafoods' facility, according to a joint press release Wednesday. It also announced no layoffs are planned as part of the sale. The Clackamas, Oregon-based company will take over the Star of Kodiak plant downtown, as well as the Plaza Bunkhouse apartments, which were also previously owned by Trident. Pacific, however, will maintain its current separate facility on Kodiak's Cannery Row. Ashton Meyer, Pacific Seafood's vice president of processing, will lead the combined operations. He wrote in the press release, quote, "We are honored to partner with our new, very talented team members, the fleet, and the community to unlock new opportunities for this region." The finalized sale comes about 2 months after Pacific and Trident announced a deal for the facilities. Pacific Seafood confirmed the company's new plant is already preparing for the region's pollock and Pacific cod seasons, which open in January. Trident initially announced it would sell about a third of its facilities in Alaska, including the Kodiak plant, in December of last year. While Trident's processing plants in Petersburg, False Pass, and Ketchikan were sold within a few months, the size of the Kodiak plant slowed down the sale process, according to Trident. Trident officials cited tough market conditions for the seafood industry as the reason for the sell-off. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
And a federal court case that questioned the rights of Alaska Native tribes has received a ruling. And as KNOM's Ben Townsend reports, it has the potential to set a precedent for years to come.
Back in 2023, the U.S. Department of Agriculture issued roughly $70 million in grant funds to bring high-speed internet access to Western Alaska. That's good news, right? There was just one major problem. The two companies, Muckluck Telephone Company and Interior Telephone Company, planned projects in the Western Alaska villages of Elam and Unalakleet. But with the projects taking place on tribal land, per the USDA's own rules, they're required to obtain tribal consent. According to a joint lawsuit filed by Elam and Unalakleet, the companies sidestepped this requirement. Instead, they relied on support from the Nome-based tribal consortium, Kowarik Incorporated, as proof of consent. Court documents reveal it was Kowarik itself that raised concerns last year that their support was not a sufficient substitute for tribal consent. In response, the USDA wrote they, quote, cannot simply undo legal contracts for federal funding, which it believed were properly supported and entered into. This May, Elam and Unalakleet filed a lawsuit against the USDA's Rural Utility Service. The suit sought to cancel the awards issued to the telecommunications companies and restore the village's ability to apply for future broadband funding. A recent ruling issued by Chief U.S. Magistrate Judge Matthew Scobel denied the village's request to cancel the awards. But the judge did rule that the USDA and telecommunications companies, quote, should have obtained tribal consent and that failure to do so is a cognizable injury. An attorney representing Elam and Unalakleet called the ruling a, quote, huge vindication of tribal sovereign rights. While Muckluck and Interior will be able to move forward with the broadband project, the ruling sets an important precedent for future cases involving tribal consent. Reporting in Nome, I'm Ben Townsend.
And Juneau has a new chess club in town this year. The club hosted its seventh tournament last night. KTOO sat in to watch the chess club in action.
All right, so how's everyone doing?
There are two chess boards per table, set up in the Menton Hall Valley Library conference room. 20 people sit face-to-face at the tables, chatting about chess.
And I see a lot of new faces here today. So which means you've all been breaking the first rule of chess club.
That's Maine Wolf. He's leading the tournament.
You guys good? Perfect. All right, with that said, black, click on the clock and let's start the games.
Once the two-sided timers start, the room is silent, except for the sound of pieces landing on the chessboard. Each player has up to 10 minutes total. Some games are over in six, and others run the timer down to a second on each side. Wolf started the club this spring because he wanted to expand in-person playing beyond just him and some friends at a bar.
I was like, okay, there should be something official here.
Most of the players here have honed their games on chess.com. But Kevin Gullifson says in-person games are different, better.
Most of us play like on our phones a lot, but it's a totally different thing playing over the board, you know, like OTB.
He's whispering because on the other side of the glass wall, a serious game is in action.
And also playing against a live person and kind of having those, like, there's a whole, like, kind of psychological aspect to it that's a lot more fun. And it's kind of the more real version of chess, so, yeah.
Players who finish their games start to trickle into the hallway, and conversations about what went well and what could have been better fill the silence. Kaya Mangakat came to this tournament ready with a plan and said it went well.
I did an opening, and it worked, and that got me off to a really good start.
And 14-year-old Ryan Beery was also proud of his first game.
I felt pretty good. Yeah, I think I got maybe two brilliant moves.
Matt Schiffner's third game is pretty down to the wire. Players who have finished already watch through the glass. He said afterwards that he cinched the victory in the last few moves.
When there were just a few pieces left and he just put his rook on a square that my knight covered and I was able to capture it. You know, at first I almost missed it. I was about to play a different move and then like out of the corner of my eye I saw it. And it, as soon as I saw that, like, it just clicked and felt very satisfying. Yeah.
He won the tournament undefeated through seven games. But no matter how the players did, they were eager to play and learn from each other. At least that's what Elizabeth Judici said.
It's not whether you win or lose, it's the pieces you move along the way.
And just in case 7 games wasn't enough, Wolf said people could play one more game after the tournament if they want to. The top 3 winners lingered, but everyone else headed for the door. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 29 degrees and overcast this evening. The low tonight is 35, and we may get some rain overnight, mainly before midnight. Tomorrow, we might have a small chance of rain again with a high of 42. And Saturday night into Sunday, it looks like we are going to get some rain with temperatures around 40 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.